This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good morning, 7:30. Mike Simpson and Vicky Moore. VT Debates is in the books. Who do you think won extra security at synagogues in LA because of the Jewish holiday and also because of what happened yesterday with Israel and Iran?
Iran attacks Israel. The latest on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Israel and the White House weighing the next steps following that massive missile attack by Iran on Israel. The attack comes after Israel launched deadly strikes on Iranian-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon, the escalation sparking growing concerns about an expanding war in the area.
Iran says it launched the attack in retaliation for Israel's ground offensive in Lebanon and Israel's strikes on Hezbollah.
Iran is saying to Israel, look, we can get you. We know how to get you. We're not going to do it this time. We're not going to risk a war. We're not ready for a war yet. But if push comes to shove, we can do it.
The Pentagon moved additional military support to the Middle East ahead of Tuesday's attack. The U.S. has more than 40,000 troops and aircraft squadrons spread across the Middle East, along with 12 warships in the region. Another aircraft carrier is on its way.
The fighting and the upcoming holiday has police keeping more watch over synagogues, other houses of worship in the LA area. John Baird live in the Pico Robertson district. John.
LAPD has increased patrols. Beverly Hills PD doing the same thing, especially with Rosh Hashanah starting at sundown and the high holy days. Now, I talked to one woman in the neighborhood just a minute ago who seems to be more worried about issues with the homeless in the area than with the Middle East situation, at least at this point. I was asking her about that. Are you worried because of what's happening in Iran and Israel? Are you worried?
Yes. Okay. No, for now, no.
You think things are okay?
Yes. Okay. Okay. For now, no. I work, hope here. Nothing good. Good.
Nothing bad
no,
so
no,
far.
No. Yes.
Good. But the police are patrolling now.
Yes. Every day.
Still, it may be a big concern for some people with Iran launching an attack on Israel and Israel threatening to hit back. The local police are encouraging people here in LA to call them if they see anything suspicious around synagogues or other houses of worship, or to call 911 if they need to.
Events in the Middle East sending jitters through the global markets.
I'm Vicky Barker in London, where prices for global benchmark Brent crude oil are up sharply this hour. Those Iranian missile strikes on Israel, a belated wake-up call, says analyst Phil Flynn.
This definitely shakes the complacency out of the oil market.
The fear that an Israeli counterstrike or new international sanctions will cut the flow of Iranian oil to an already strained global economy.
The VP debate last night, Senator J.D. Vance, Governor Tim Walz on CBS, and the first question was about foreign policy. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The vice presidential debate began with a handshake. But then, just hours after Iran fired missiles into Israel, the candidates sparred over national security.
Donald Trump recognized that for people to fear the United States, you needed peace through strength.
Iran is closer to a nuclear weapon than they were before because of Donald Trump's fickle leadership.
CBS poll shows the viewers evenly split on who won. Most like the tone, though, 88% saying, yeah, generally positive.
There was a watch party at the Hammer Museum in Westwood. Pete Demetrio says most of the people ended up agreeing in one respect, that it was better than the presidential debate a few weeks ago.
Among the 100-plus people watching, most said there was a degree of satisfaction in seeing what one man called a more organic and genuine exchange of viewpoints between Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz, along with a sense of being able to measure their character.
It's real interesting to hear both their sides. I feel kind of J.D. Vance has that sense from that movie that he did, and it's interesting to hear his side and finally hear a little bit more from Tim Walz, because I never really knew who he was until recently.
You know, from a standpoint of really telling the facts, Walz was on the right side, but I thought that Vance was really good at, you know, getting rid of the negative things that Trump had done over 4 years.
I was pleasantly surprised by the performance of both J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. So I would say that they performed way better than I personally expected.
More than one person indicated there were no outright winners or losers in this debate, but perhaps it was the spectators and the voters who won out in the end. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So yeah, a lot of people said, well, the debate between the vice presidential candidates was overall pretty civil, all things considered. But, you know, when you have a debate, you always want to know who really won. We talked about it this morning with the University of Michigan Director of Debate, Aaron Call.
Coverage usually falls into a couple buckets, right? And one of those is full of articles that just say who won. I'm curious here, though, if who won depends on how long you watched. Because honestly, Tim Walz had a shaky start. He didn't look comfortable. And credit to J.D. Vance, like him or not, he is smooth.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly on point. Vance was very polished and started out strong. And I think the questions focusing on the what had happened in the Middle East aided that. And, you know, Tim Walz had a longer learning curve and didn't kind of give his biography at the beginning and then intertwine that a little bit later in a question about where he was during Tiananmen Square. And it took him some time. And sometimes it's just the ordering of the questions. You don't have any control over it. But as things got to abortion, healthcare, I think he found his bearings. And especially as the debate concluded, is very strong on the 2020 election and the future of democracy. But generally, the largest audience tune in at the beginning, and that's when the peak is. And people may not have been around at, 11:30 Eastern at night. But it's not just the 90-minute debate. It's the how social media and, the future cycles move. And I think there will be a lot of coverage on the election denialism again. And so may have not won in real time, but in the days to come, that may be an issue that gets a lot of focus and help to the Harris-Walz campaign.
You know, I was going to say, who was this for? There's the few undecideds that are somewhere out there that they keep trying to get. Did they actually watch this thing, do you think? Or are they just going to get it after the fact in those ads? Because like we said earlier, I mean, they're going to package up these pieces and put those ads in the swing states starting today.
Generally, vice presidential debates are not as popular as the top of the ticket ones, but, 40, 50 million people likely tuned in. And there's no other event in this real close election that will get anywhere near to that audience. But the viral clips and the social media, that has the ability to reach a group that wouldn't even normally tune in to political debates, but then will see something that was so big and could be impactful to them. But most people have made up their mind. Most people tune into debates to cheer on their preferred candidate, but there's this very small swath that is still on the fence, maybe voted one party in 2016 and changed their minds in 2020. Now really doesn't know, especially that Joe Biden is no longer in the race. The 90-minute debate last night won't cement their vote, could get them leaning in one direction, but then will really impact the coverage of the election, fundraising numbers and things like that. So it could definitely have an impact on the margins there.
Let me ask you this. Did you like this one? Because there's a fair amount of reaction out there saying, you know, there was actually a lot of, wow, talk about policy. They were in the weeds at some point, which is something we didn't get a few weeks back at the presidential debate.
Yeah, I liked it. And but with debates, everyone doesn't need to be the same. They can be different in terms of whether to fact check or not, you know, have substance versus personal. It's good to have kind of a mishmash of different styles and things. This one was definitely diametrically opposed to the one we saw in September, but there was genuine respect for amongst the both candidates, which then allowed for more substance. In the first debate, Kamala Harris had a strategy of really attacking Trump and hoping to get him to talk about crowd sizes in the election, and that worked, and it distracted him from focus on policy. And Vance did not fall for that, and just the camaraderie between the two candidates made them more comfortable and made for a better, more substantive focused debate that should definitely be helpful to those that still may have a tough time deciding the election, just giving the voters as much information as possible. And then hopefully they can come up with a comfortable decision as we get closer to election day.
And again, that was the University of Michigan's Director of Debate, Aaron Call, on the vice presidential debates last night. Mayor of New York going to be back in court today, and prosecutors say they may bring additional charges. That story and more is 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
President and the vice president looking over the storm damage caused by Hurricane Helene today. Biden meets with emergency workers in South Carolina. Then he goes to Raleigh to visit the Emergency Operations Center, does an aerial tour, can't even get the motorcade in. Vice President Harris will be in Georgia. A woman from Augusta says it is difficult.
It's awful, and we hadn't even been able to get out of our driveway. Our car is blocked in behind the tree. And It has been, we run around, we got coolers, we filled them with water, and that's what we use them for our water.
Unhumid, million customers, still no power.
It is worse because it's like I'm just dying for a hot shower right now. And I mean, that's rough.
Hundreds of people still missing.
So we were talking about the vice presidential debate, and now what's ahead for the candidates? Refocusing on the battleground states a little bit more from the Republican side of the ticket.
The Trump campaign says it's expecting the former president to hold two or three rallies per week going forward, interspersed with smaller events. That includes a town hall Trump will hold in Fayetteville, North Carolina, away from the severe damage of Hurricane Helene. He will speak at a rally in Arizona at the Tucson Music Hall tomorrow and then head to Los Angeles for a private fundraising event with tickets selling for up to $250,000 each. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Another court appearance today for the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, on those federal charges alleging he took bribes, illegal campaign contributions. CBS's Christina Phan.
The mayor is back in court today for a status conference. And while the proceeding isn't expected to dive deep into the evidence, a judge could set a preliminary timetable for trial. The mayor's legal team has also been busy the last few days ramping up their legal defense. His attorneys filed a lawsuit accusing the U.S. Attorney's Office of leaking details of their investigation to the media.
Prosecutors saying they may even bring some additional charges against the mayor and indict others in the case.
City of Rancho Palos Verdes, you know, where there's been all that land movement affecting the homes, they're getting $5 million from the L.A. County, the County of Los Angeles, but they had to decide how to divide it up, and apparently they've done that. Our Natalie Tavidian was at the meeting last night.
One of the conditions of accepting the money from Supervisor Janice Hahn's office last week is to help residents impacted by the land movement with things like home repairs, off-grid solutions like solar and batteries.
At least my neighbors are barely holding the line or slipping and not able to hold the line. They need the money. There are people that cannot show you receipts for the $50,000 to $100,000 estimates for solar because they have not been able to pay it yet.
With the $5 million from the county, about half will be split among 280 homes impacted by land movement. They'll receive 10 grand, and the rest of the money, city says, will be used for land stabilization, things like dewatering and covering fissures. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The LAPD says it's making progress on holding people accountable for some of these flash mob robberies at the 7-Elevens. Investigators say several teens have been arrested after their parents turned them in. Assistant Chief Blake Chow making the announcement at the police commission meeting.
A parent had brought their juvenile child in who was involved in a flash robbery on September 28th. Another parent in Southwest area brought their child into the station. And on September 29th, a similar situation occurred in 77th, where the parent turned the child in, and that juvenile was also booked for robbery.
I'm going to drag you in there. String of convenience store robberies first reported back in July. 50 to 100 kids are ransacking stores from Hollywood to West L.A. 20 minutes of nonstop news. Tensions are rising in the Middle East. Iran launching those missiles into Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, saying they're going to pay for that big mistake. It comes after Israel killed the Hezbollah leaders. We talked with the former U.S. ambassador to Yemen, now at the Middle East Institute, Jerry Firestein, to get a clearer picture of what could happen next.
The U.N. Secretary General has called for an immediate ceasefire. Israel's foreign minister is now lashing out at the U.N. Secretary General, saying he's basically barred now from Israel, saying anyone, this is the quote, anyone who cannot unequivocally condemn Iran's heinous attack on Israel does not deserve to set foot on Israeli soil. The world is watching. What happens next?
Well, it's a very good question, and you know, we have to keep in mind that declaring Guterres persona non grata, which is what the Israelis have done, is an extraordinary step. You know, where do you go next? I think, you know, certainly the administration is going to be trying to look for ways to de-escalate the tension. I know the other states in the region are also hoping for de-escalation. The question is, where, you know, do the Israelis go? In April, we saw that both sides, both the Iranians and the Israelis, did what they felt that they needed to do, and then were willing to let the situation calm. It's not clear that that's where we are right now.
Yeah, who's going to turn off the war, right? If Israel's now saying, well, we're going to retaliate, and then Iran, do they have to do it again? Is Iran really interested in something wider, or could this turn out like April if they can find a way to kind of calm things down?
Well, I think that we saw that after they fired the missiles, and again, I think that the Iranians certainly understood that the likelihood of their missile attack doing any significant damage in Israel was pretty low. So they did what they needed to do symbolically, and they announced afterwards that they were done. They weren't going to take any more steps unless Israel retaliated. Again, in April, what we saw was that Israel retaliated, but in a way that reduced the tensions. It was a more of a symbolic move. If they do that again, then I think that probably we are in another period where nothing more is going to happen. But again, it depends awfully much about how Israel responds.
Getting very close to the election, I'm sure you watched or listened to the vice presidential debate last night where the candidates addressed the tensions in the Middle East. What level of confidence did you have in their individual responses?
Well, I think that, certainly the idea that everybody is going to be very supportive of Israel, I think that that's where the sense is, that where the vast majority of Americans are right now. It's less about what they said and more about what they would do if they were in Joe Biden's shoes, whether they would take a significantly different approach. Right now, I would say that, certainly Vice President Harris has aligned herself very closely with the Biden approach. I think that we know where Donald Trump is from his first term in office. So the likelihood is that they would continue more or less along the same lines.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Yemen, now at the Middle East Institute, Jerry Firestein. More job cuts coming to Disney. Here's Steve Podisk.
Yeah, the company combining operations that make TV shows, cutting about 30 jobs in the latest cost savings round. The company says the drama and comedy teams at ABC and Hulu Originals will be combined. The ABC Signature Studio will be shut down with its operations folded into 20th Television. Now, last week, Disney cut about 300 corporate jobs. Healthcare, once seen as a key driver of post-pandemic employment growth, has tapered off hiring after accounting for about 1 in 5 new jobs back in 2021. Companies added just close to 31,000 healthcare worker jobs in August. That's the least in more than 2 years. On Wall Street, the Dow, it's positive now, 50 points. NASDAQ ahead, 22 points. While the S&P is moving up now, 3.
He's gone away. So let's just tell you, that was 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
Hey, it's Alex Silverman, host of the LA Local. Got 10 minutes? Get caught up on what's happening in SoCal.
We have some crazy things in Los Angeles.
Promise, you won't be bored.
There is genuine fear.
Would you believe this is a story about the city budget?
Let me ask you, can I use the F word?
On a podcast, you can.
Okay, all right.
Follow the LA Local on your favorite podcast app. Brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. Search the inventory for all 14 dealerships at LACarGuy.com.